Yeah.
Right?
Well, do you actually know what you're going to talk about, or are you just trying to make something up?
Well, we're just kind of, I don't know, we're winging it. It's a podcast, okay. Right? And you know what's crazy is that the King of Jordan is the custodian of the Al-Quds and the other holy sites of Jerusalem. Yeah, yeah. What is the list of the crimes that the Islamic Republic has done against Israel?
Well,
it's almost nothing.
That's what I'm saying.
If anything.
This is...
So, assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Ali,
and
welcome to whatever we're going to call this podcast, inshallah, because we don't have a title yet.
Have you started?
Well, I think we started for real, yeah. Okay. So, what's going on?
Alhamdulillah, nothing much.
Chilling in the holy city of Qom.
Yes, well.
So we had this idea about doing a podcast. Well, actually, I think it was your idea to do a podcast. So here we are in the name of Allah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Islamic Pulse's first podcast. I was going to say talk show podcast. I'm so used to doing talk show all the time.
Right.
So kind of primarily what we really want to talk about, you know, is this whole, it's called what? A True Promise Operation by the Islamic Republic of Iran, you know? So, like, 2 nights ago, April 14th, right? I'm sure that, you know, you were following the news, right?
Well, do you actually know what you're going to talk about, or are you just trying to make something up?
Well, we're just kind of, I don't know, we're winging it. It's a podcast, right? That apparently I did some research before starting the podcast, and it was so like,
that's where all that emphasis comes from, you know, don't prepare anything, you know, don't just come in, you know, and talk.
So it was interesting. So like 2 nights ago, or 1 night ago, whatever it was, April 14th, right? So I had, somebody kind of call me at like 3:30 a.m. And like I checked a message and it said that, you know, something is going on. And I was like, you know, whatever, I don't have time for this kind of stuff. This is all like bogus news or something, you know? But it turns out that the Islamic Republic of Iran, later on I found out, they threw this barrage of... missiles, not just like one missile, right? These guys, ballistic missiles, cruise missiles, drones, and apparently these multiple volleys, right, at Israel. And I don't know, I mean, to me, when I was watching it later on, like, it was just like these tears of joy came, you know, to me that, you know, alhamdulillah, this is such a, I don't know, such a big thing, you know?
I came home, I think it was quite late at night, and I was going to just hit the bed because I had an early morning class at 8 a.m. And
that's
of course, you have to get up for the prayers, you know, in the middle and then try to go to bed again maybe, you know, if you're lucky.
Yeah.
And just happens to be that I open up my phone and one of these social media platforms, it's like Iran attacked Israel.
Israel.
Like, what is going on here, right?
Yeah, this is not normal.
So this was like, you know, where it all started, and I'm like, you know, we had no clue what's going on. Sure. Of course, we were following the news before the incident that Iran is, you know, planning to retaliate, you know, and they've said that...
It had Israel pretty scared.
Yeah, the Zionist regime has, you know...
they were really scared, huh?
Bombed our consulate or something, right?
Yeah, in Damascus,
In Syria, right? So apparently some valuable lives were lost there, right?
For the Islamic Republic of Iran. Including a woman and a child.
Well,
who, by the way, were there on a diplomatic mission. They had been invited by the Syrian government as advisors, and this was a diplomatic consul. This was an embassy, right? So,
this is not a news, you know. Israel is accustomed to killing women and children, you know, and innocent men and women and so on and so forth. So, you know...
Especially in Gaza, you see this.
I didn't expect it to come, you know, at that night. I don't know why. I just didn't expect it to... be that night, you know, with my early morning class. I really wanted it to be a peaceful night. So I ended up just being on these, you know, social media networks and trying to see what's going on and different websites I was visiting, and I was trying to find out, you know, what is going on. Mm. And then it said that it's still 5 hours to go before the missiles, the hit Israel.
Yeah, there were a couple of volleys.
Right.
And so after every, like, 1 hour, they would send another volley. So by the time all of it was done, you know, it was like that. It was like 4 or 5 hours.
Well, right there and then, trust me, like, I was sitting there and I couldn't believe it, right?
Yeah.
Because it was something long overdue, honestly. Like, you look at the Zionist regime and what it has been doing for the last 6 months.
Yeah.
Let me change it. For the last 75 years, right?
Yeah, sure.
But specifically, these last 6 months have been really heavy on many people, right? Everybody was waiting that, you know, God stopped them somehow.
Yeah, sure.
Because, you know, nobody is... stopping them.
Yeah, well, no, especially the Western powers. Yeah, I mean, you see the shamelessness when it comes to these guys.
The international organizations, you know, nobody was doing nothing, right?
You know,
so they're just continuing this genocide or this ethnic cleansing, if you would, you know, unchecked, right? And all we see is like, you know, people protesting, you know, but nobody's listening to them.
Yeah.
These people in these Western countries, if you notice and follow up on the news and stuff,
they're not going back in.
So, but nobody's hearing. Nobody. So something had to be done. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
Yeah.
You know, it gave me that whole idea of, you know, at least Alhamdulillah Subhanallah, there is someone to stop.
Yeah, Alhamdulillah. Know, the Zionist regime. What I think is really interesting, like this, this wasn't even something that was directly, you know, in retaliation for Gaza, for example, right? Like, if they really retaliate for Gaza, Islamic Republic, then the game's over.
No,
right?
But you know why they attacked, right? Because the consulate, when any country, legitimate or illegitimate,
right,
when they attack the consulate or the embassy
of, a country,
of
it's
any
part
country,
of the land of that country,
Assant,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
So
Israel, in reality, what they did was is they attacked
Iran.
The Islamic Republic.
So now
of Iran.
The retaliation was due, right? And Iran, you know, I saw like there were different statements by the foreign minister, by other people, and especially Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei in the Eid prayers.
Yeah, in the Eid prayers.
He mentions that, you know, that
they should be punished and they will be punished.
Exactly.
And they made a mistake. Exactly. And clearly, I think now, you know, to kind of, you know, lighten up the discussion a little bit, Israel has definitely realized what a huge mistake they made.
Right.
These people's calculations, they're totally off, right?
Right.
I don't understand who their advisors are, either in Israel or in the United States or Britain or France, whoever's advising these people.
Right.
Clearly are making wrong calculations. So just like always, they probably figured that Iran is going to be patient, they're not going to say anything.
Yeah.
You know. And by the way, this is something we should talk about, is the patience of Iran and the Islamic Republic when it comes to these atrocious crimes and, you know, disobedience of Israel, of international law and humanitarian law. You know, the Islamic Republic was fairly patient. But yeah, I mean, you know,
what was funny and interesting was that nobody was able to do anything for 6 months to slow down and to stop the Zionist regime of Israel.
Yeah.
This miscalculation of theirs gave a window of opportunity for the Islamic Republic, who has been, by the way, opposing what Israel is doing, you know, from day one.
Very vocally.
Especially in
the diplomatic level.
Exactly.
Constantly.
They've been
more
trying everything.
Any other country in the world.
They've been trying everything, right?
Mm.
But this gave them an opportunity. And guess what?
Mm.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is the first country ever that has officially announced.
Directly attacked
the
Israel.
Zionist regime of Israel.
Yeah.
Right? At least in recent times, contemporary times.
Yeah,
I don't know,
60
years ago or something. I don't know about that. But recently, you know, there has been no one. So this, enough in itself, I think, is a great outcome of what transpired. And I think the world is happy. All the innocent people of the world is happy, right?
All the free people of the world.
I'm looking at these comments and these blogs and, you know, people are writing about it. And, you know, they're chatting about it, even on WhatsApp, you know, their statuses.
People in European countries came out and actually vocally supported this move
people
by the
Islamic
Republic.
People are rejoicing.
Yeah.
And I know, like, right after this retaliatory attack, I saw that in Canada, there were many people, they came out to, like you said, celebrate it.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
So if you notice, the public opinion has swayed in favor of the Palestinians.
And this is,
after all,
this is despite the massive propaganda that has been done in the Western world against the Islamic Republic.
Of course, yeah.
I mean, they have done so much Iranophobia and Islamic Republicophobia and Islamic Revolutionophobia, if we make up these, you know, istilahat and these terms, against them. That the fact that somehow people have come and are celebrating the Islamic Republic's, you know, retaliatory attack, and emphasis on retaliatory, You know, because they didn't start this. These are the Americans, right, and the Israelis are, right, the guys who started this. Right. The fact that people are celebrating is really something amazing.
I think part of the reason why a lot of people, even the analysts, political analysts, you see that they're supporting the Islamic Republic of Iran in this matter especially, is because they acted in accordance to the international law.
Yeah, right.
Right, and this is something that we should give credit to the Islamic Republic, that
no
matter how angry they are, no matter how disturbed they are about what Israel has been doing, they still make sure that they're acting within that
framework,
the legal framework as a country, right? So this is something I really appreciated, right?
And
so,
I'd like to kind of juxtapose this, or I'd like to put this on the other side of what Israel has done. Israel has broken all international laws and all humanitarian
shamelessly,
laws.
That too, shamelessly, like not hiding or anything.
So, you know, after America vetoed all of these, you know, resolutions to come up with a ceasefire, finally one of these things somehow came through,
right?
A ceasefire resolution by the United Nations. Right. You see that Israel did not care.
This is
they continued. The International Court of Justice also issued a statement. And also Israel has decided to trample this thing completely.
Right.
And on the other hand, so I think what I'm saying is that the reality and the truth is being exposed to everybody.
Right.
Where Israel stands as a quote-unquote, you know, state, you know, even though it's not a state, but as a quote-unquote state in the world, what their behavior is and what the behavior has been of the Islamic Republic.
I think the world overall, you can say, even the countries of the world, they are fed up of Israel's arrogance.
Yeah, arrogance, bullying,
and
crimes.
Honestly, this arrogance, it is rooted in the support of the United States of America,
the
support of the UK. This is what makes the Zionist regime of Israel audacious.
Well, sure.
To continue doing its crime, right?
You have a big brother who's going to protect you, who's going to veto every single time something comes into the United Nations. It makes them audacious. And
so I think this time around, too, if you look at after the bombing of the consulate, Iranian consulate, by Israelis, the United States of America and UK, Rishi Sunak, I was reading you know, we're going to stand with Israel no matter what.
And France,
And France as well. They basically warned Iran not to
retaliate,
do anything against the Zionist regime of Israel. So I was thinking, you know, what is Iran going to do now? Well, a lot of the episodes, if you look in the past, Iran has given statements. They have said that we're going to take revenge.
Yeah.
But one thing that is very consistent and is a common denominator is that they did not take that revenge, and they said that we will take it at
the
right time when we want it and where we want it. So I was thinking, what are they going to do this time?
Yeah.
Is it another one of those episodes like Shahid Fakhrizadeh, you remember, the scientist, right?
Qasim Soleimani.
That was like, you know, Haj Qasim Soleimani, for instance. Kerman, you know, the bombing. So it's a long list, right?
It's a very long list.
Yeah, and if we start going through all the crimes
and
of the Zionist regime of Israel against the Islamic Republic of Iran, I'm not even talking about Palestinians at the moment or Iraqis or others.
Sure,
I'm talking just Iran, right? It's a very long list, and it will just make it a very boring talk or discussion.
Yeah, sure, yeah, we don't want to do boring.
Right.
But if you turn it around, what is the list of the crimes that the Islamic Republic has done against Israel?
Well,
it's almost nothing.
That's what I'm saying.
If anything.
This is the first time, and if you notice, even in this one, this retaliation, you know, that Islamic Republic, alhamdulillah, successfully carried out, and the world saw it, and alhamdulillah, we see the camp of resistance is so happy, it's rejoiced, right?
Yeah, of course,
from Palestine to Lebanon to, you know,
Syria
Iraq, to Yemen to Iraq, and to Pakistan, other places, even the Western countries, like I pointed out before. This is something that is truly an Eid, you know, for the justice seekers, right? If you notice, Israel has been given, and really the United States of America, let me say that, they've been given a very clear message that enough is enough.
Yeah, enough is enough, man.
You know, I mean, you come and hit us, you come and harm us, don't expect that we're just going to sit and watch.
Yeah, sure. Don't think that we're, you know, some poor Palestinians who don't have weapons, who don't have resources, who can't defend themselves. You can kill 30,000 women and children left and right, destroy hospitals, destroy schools, and we're not going to do anything. Right. You know, you got the equation
it's
completely
very direct
wrong.
And
you know
clear what I mean? Message.
And right. I was really happy that finally, you know, and this is not even the full capabilities of the Islamic Republic. They said these are some of our old equipment.
As a matter of fact,
along
I was
with just
listening
a couple
to,
of new things.
What's his name, Barrett or something?
Yeah,
Kevin Barrett, I think.
Yeah,
his
maybe.
Name is.
Yeah, the doctor from the U.S.
He's
Wisconsin.
No, he's.
Yeah, he's.
I have to look it up.
He's a PhD.
He's an ex military man. You know, he knows a lot about weapons and stuff. You know, Scott Ritter. Thank
you.
Yeah,
he's
the
ex CIA guy. Yeah. He's also the UN weapons inspector.
Him had a talk show with George Galloway, a podcast talk show, whatever.
Yeah,
you
he's a cool
call
guy
it.
Too. Yeah.
And the
he's
fact.
Straight up. He's like.
Yeah, the reality is in the facts. You know, the hard facts that he was laying out were really cool.
Yeah.
You know, he was saying that Iran started this retaliatory attack on the Zionist regime with the laziest and the oldest and outdated
weaponry that they had
exactly in their stockpile and this is something you know this is where they started. So the message is very clear.
Well, okay, let me add, because this is something that's really interesting. This the weaponry that they sent in the first wave, because it was two or three waves, right, that they sent. So the first one, that was this old weaponry. What it did was old weaponry.
Engaged
I want to add is very cheap,
right?
It was this just kind of cheap, inexpensive stuff that they had laying around.
Right.
They threw this volley, and the Iron Dome was distracted, engaged. So they spent like, I don't know, how many millions per Iron Dome thing on these very cheap.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was really beautiful, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And then the second and the third volleys that came, you know, they totally...
They had a plan in place, you know.
Yeah.
It was not just, you know, we're just going to dump some...
No,
missiles on
it
Israel's
was very
head.
Precise and
very
accurate.
Precise and something we should talk about, like, what did they target and what was the message?
Well, I mean,
right?
You know, they targeted military bases.
Exactly.
There was one Air Force base.
Yeah.
And
the clear
the
message
south
is
and the north.
And that's the Air Force base that was used
to attack
the
Damascus
consulate.
Now,
the message is very clear that you are within our access.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
With our old weaponry.
Right? And this is something I think is a very clear indication for those who understand these messages.
Yeah,
you know, at military
I think
level
they understood these messages.
The strategists and all that, right? If I can take this discussion a little bit in the grand, you know, bigger scheme of things, this whole idea of isolation of America, when the leader talked about the New World Order.
Sure, yeah.
Imam Khamenei said that from this entire region, the influence of America is going to be eradicated as the time progresses.
Sure, sure.
America is not going to be able to bully other countries like it has been and exploit their resources. And
I think this is very clear now. For example,
Hassan.
as soon as Iran, you know, the Self-Defense Act of hitting Israel, right? The Israelis, of course, they very kind of immediately said, you know, we're going to do this and we're going to do that and don't publish any of the things. You know, it's like, what are you guys trying to hide? Why are you so scared, you know?
Yeah.
Well, even though they should be scared, but
just
still.
They're just doing face-saving right now.
Face-saving is what's happening, right?
We haven't really, this is the Western narrative. Israel has not really incurred any loss and this and that.
Yeah, yeah.
But this whole isolation of America, you know, sometimes when you see the leader talking, in making such a claim before time,
it's
ahead
difficult
of time.
To believe. Yeah, sure.
Sometimes you know we go like, really, you know, is that even possible? You know, not to believe the leader or trust his words, but then you look at the practical situation where the governments are subservient to the Zionist regime because of U.S. and because of U.K. and France and other Western, you know, conglomeration and the support structure they have. So you go like, is it even possible that U.S. influence in the region is going to diminish? It's going to... But see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us right there and then and so quick.
And right now that's what's happening, right? So for example, what I was saying was that... So after Israel was attacked, the Israelis on one side, they started to damage control, right? To hide this shame and humiliation.
Right.
And the United States, the president, you know, Joseph Biden, one of the first things that he did was to relay a message to, you know, Bibi saying, listen, do not relent.
Don't do anything.
Just shut up, sit down, you know,
yeah.
do not cause any more trouble than you are, meaning that that is a message.
Yeah.
They feel threatened, you know, that we do not want to enter into a direct thing.
Right.
And like the leader said, this was a huge mistake on the behalf of the Zionist regime.
Yeah.
They should have not done something so dumb.
Right.
You know, and it's funny because what they really wanted to do was to drag the Islamic Republic into this whole, you know, Gaza thing.
Right.
And it's like, okay, well, here you
and
have
Islamic
it.
Islamic Republic
now,
is like,
Islamic
yeah,
Republic
we're here
has,
now.
Is here, we're here now.
Exactly.
What are you going to do?
And notice, like, if you look at the time span where they attack the consulate, and it's almost impossible for anyone to believe that Israel would do something big like this without a green signal from America.
Sure. Yeah.
That's established, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The U.S. has to approve it because they're the real planners of it. You know, Israel is
their
dog on the ground, you know, is just biting around. So they do this, and on X date, whatever that date was when they attacked.
April 1st, I think.
Mm. And on April the... When is it the,
yeah,
the response?
14th. It was like about 12 days.
About
after.
12, 13 days, right? Look at the change and the shift in the policy of the United States of America with respect to Palestine plus the Islamic Republic of Iran. So there they say, oh, go attack their consulate, you know, target their people, you know, do whatever.
Sure.
12 days later, they're like, don't do anything. This, you know, to conclude what I'm trying to say is... Rahbar, when you listen to Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, he says that every time that we have acted in a revolutionary manner, we've been successful.
Yeah, we've moved forward.
We've moved forward.
Yeah.
Every time we have shied away from fulfilling our responsibility and, you know, we've...
quote-unquote, like, I guess, retreated.
Retreated. Yeah. The enemy became more audacious.
And they move forward, yeah.
Right. And this is something very consistent. Even with Palestinians, you know, the oppressed nation of Palestine, they have been oppressed for 75 years.
Yeah.
Right now it's like 30, let's say 35, to round it off, 35,000 innocent people after October the 7th that Israel has massacred, right?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
How many houses have they demolished? How many people they have displaced from their homes,
millions.
Right? Kicked out, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But the resistance was not able to get that output. The Palestinians were not able to get that output from all those sacrifices. But after October the 7th, when they decide that enough is enough, you know, we're claiming our land back, we're going to stop Israel from expanding, you know, they're starting to get the results. Alhamdulillah, the world is supporting them today.
Yeah.
Right? The people, the free people.
Yeah, the
people
overwhelming
of the world.
Majority of the of the world.
As
are
the theme
them.
Of this year is what? Tufan al Ahrar, right?
Yeah,
that
the
is
storm
the storm
of the free.
Of the free
yeah. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So the free people today, alhamdulillah.
Yeah, and that's what's happening. I think these are all parts of a different changing world order. You know, you talked about this new world order that Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei talked about, and this is very quickly.
Materializing.
You know, materializing.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. It's taking into shape. These people who have come out in support of the Islamic Republic in this, you know, act of self-defense that they did, or these people that are coming out for Palestine and the Palestinian cause. And it's every single week. It's like these guys haven't stopped, you know. Talking about another side of this coin is that these so-called, you know, Muslim regimes in the region who have really done nothing for all practical purposes.
They have. What were you talking about? Jordan provided their airspace to the Zionist regime
Jordan,
of Israel.
Yeah, Jordan actually shot down, apparently, tried to intercept some of these missiles or drones or whatever that were going from.
Yeah.
And to me, that's crazy.
This is shameful.
You know, as shameful, as crazy. It's like, what is wrong with you people where you are not bothering to support your own Muslim brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
You know, like, what happened to Muslim unity? What happened to this Muslim
brotherhood? Where are the
custodians
of Haramain, Sharifain, the custodians
And you know what's crazy is that the King of Jordan is the custodian of the Al-Quds and the other holy sites sites of Jerusalem. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he's proper. So just like the Saudis are the custodians of the Haramain.
Haramain, yeah.
The King of Jordan is formally the custodian of the holy sites of Jerusalem.
I didn't know that.
Really. Yeah. It's like, so it's crazy, man. It's like, yeah. What are you doing? Instead of protecting the holy sites, you're actually protecting the Zionists.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is. Yeah, that's what it comes down to.
You know, I don't know. I think... it's really sad, and it's something that the Muslims of the world now are waking up to.
Yeah.
And the people in general, that these governments also don't represent the people.
Yeah.
And likewise, you know, these governments and these heads of state, you know, even though all of them are kingdoms, they're not you know what I mean? And this is another thing that, you know, is interesting, is you're trying to spread democracy all across the world. How come you don't spread democracy in the kingdom of Bahrain and the kingdom of Jordan and the kingdom of
Saudi Arabia? No, it's to their benefit.
Arabia.
Why would they? You know, they're subservient dictators and kings that are in place. And this is a long history. You know, you look at the Gaddafi and Saddam, and go back to, you know, what was going on in Egypt and all of Tunisia,
Hosni Mubarak.
You know, as long as you are the stooge of the Western countries and you work for their benefit, you know, we don't care what kind of system you have. But as soon as it comes to the Islamic Republic of Iran, where, like, they have elections, you know,
so many different elections,
you know, not just the presidential election. They're like, oh, this is a theocracy. This is a dictatorship.
This is a dictatorship.
I've been living here for 10 years, right? I've seen all these elections going on and people participating in those. And the will of the people, you know, in some cases, which was probably not the very correct collective decision of the people, but still the system respected it.
Yeah.
For instance, the negotiations with the United States of America.
Yeah, the nuclear deal.
There were some who were
P5
adamant.
Plus one.
Exactly, adamant about this JCPOA, you know,
JCPOA,
as they call it, Barjam, you know, P5 plus
JCPOA,
one. Yadish Bakhair.
Man, these guys tried hard.
And I remember
certain
like
elements,
Rahbar,
at least here, Rahbar tried real
hard.
Rahbar
at that point saying that, you know, I know exactly what these Western powers are going to do to you. But, you know, because you guys want it, fine.
Yeah,
you know,
go learn
allow
the
it. Exactly. Yeah. And they did learn it the hard way. I know
they did
many youth,
hard,
you know, especially in Tehran, they were hopeful that, you know, finally this tussle between the United States and Iran is going to be
everything
over.
Everything is
going
to be calm.
And everything is going
we'll
to be
we'll get our American
normal.
Visas.
Exactly. We'll be able to travel to different parts of the world, you know, but they were just too naive, you know. Some of them were just excessively hopeful.
It's a lot of
because
media
they did not
propaganda,
know. They did not know the reality of the United States and what they have done to this nation. You know, if we don't even talk about other countries and other nations.
Yeah, no, just this, yeah.
So they learned their lesson, you know. And afterwards, I talked to them, and I had this meaningful smile. I'm like, you know, what happened with your JCPOA?
Where's it at now?
They're like, you know, no, we recognize the enemy, you know, this is true. They're never going to let us be free and independent and developing.
Yeah.
I think one
of these interesting things about this podcast type thing, you know, because again, like, this is our first podcast. And by the way, somebody needs to, like, tell us how much time we're spending, because, you know, we don't want to, like, go over 2-3 hours on this thing.
Yeah.
So one of the interesting things is that even for people who live within the United States of America, these people are under oppression as well. So not only do these major Western countries, not just the U.S., but the U.K., France, you know, Germany, all of these kind of non-God-oriented, you know, non-God-oriented systems, man-made systems, you know, the people are all slaves and oppressed, and they're being used. And
these capitalists, I think their plan is to just control everything and benefit from it.
Yeah,
and that would definitely require some people to let go their benefits or their own livelihoods.
Yeah.
So these corporations and these military industrial complexes and these Zionists and imperialists and you know, the select few, what are those families, the Jewish Zionist families.
Rothschild
and these people, you know, they can actually fill up their bank accounts. I don't know, you know, they can just pile up wealth.
I don't even know, like, what you would do with all that money. Exactly. It's like, you know, exactly. It's like you're never going to control the world anyways. Exactly. You know, God has a bigger plan than your... But it's really sad that... Because, like, for example, I grew up in the U.S., and I think for the most part... and I think even for Europe, you know, common people, regular people on the street, they're good people. They're not bad people, you know.
No,
people are, they're good
people.
They
literally are oppressed. They don't even know that they're being brainwashed.
They don't even know that the media is completely twisting their worldview. You know what I mean? It is unfortunate.
Although, Sayed, I think the trend is changing now. If you compare it to back in the day when we were in the States, I think people were not really realizing what they're going through, right? In a lot of cases.
There
were still those who did realize, and they were fighting back, or whatever you want to call resisting against this injustice that they're subjected to.
Which was, it's a minority, but
right. But then if you look at, you know, past few years you look at the level of awareness even for the people who are living in the United States, yani they're living within that sphere bubble, of propaganda and bubble, right, where they saw America as the land of opportunities.
Yeah, land of the free.
Land of the free and freedom of speech, freedom of expression, you know, equal rights and no discrimination and all those, you know, good slogans. They're coming to realization that these were all just words, and they were lies. You know, it's a pack of lies.
In order to keep them in this slavery oppression kind of frame of mind.
And you know, I think the whole economic and financial
scheme
perks that the ordinary people may have been enjoying back in the day, it is diminishing, you know, in the collective West, not just in the U.S.
Yeah, no, man. Like,
it is diminishing.
These places are turning into semi-third world countries.
Yes, it's getting harder for people, because I still talk to people. Fine, I don't live there anymore, but, you know, I talk to my friends in the U.S.
and find jobs.
Exactly. They're telling me, like, you know, it's getting increasingly difficult to...
Electric bills.
Just... Food. Go paycheck to paycheck, you know.
That's like they're going hand to mouth now. A lot of them. So it's not even the land of the opportunity anymore.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, I guess. And, you know, you look at the U.S. national debt, you know, the way it's climbing
it's
up
like
and
trillions.
Creeping up. It's just, it's very frustrating in a way, right?
And this, I mean, I kind of want to talk a little bit, you know, I want to switch gears a little bit, you know, because, like, this human rights thing you brought up, right? So what's really, I don't know, you use the right word, you use shameless, right? And it's really, I guess, shameless, humiliating. It's kind of this big facade that these fake human rights slogans that, you know, are being thrown around now, for example.
Right.
You know, why doesn't Iran adhere to, excuse me, international law? Or why didn't they consider human rights when they threw all these missiles at Israel, right? It's like, where were all these, you know, I don't know if you
human
want to even
rights
call
champions.
Them, these people, quote unquote, because they're not people, they don't have any humanity in them, right, unfortunately. But like, where were these guys when, you know, like you said, 35,000 Palestinians are dead, you know, and like 70% of them are women and children.
Right.
You know, why were there no, and it's interesting, you know, the Imam Sayyid al-Khamenei, he says that. He says, are these people that have died, are the Palestinians not human beings?
Mm-hmm.
Do they not have human rights?
Right.
You know, the only people that have human rights, you know, are the top 1% and the Zionists and Israel and everybody else in the world.
I think this,
doesn't have human rights.
This hypocrisy and duplicity of the West is obvious, right?
Yeah.
I mean, one thing I wanted to touch up on, and since we don't have like any fixed format,
I guess
we just talk about whatever, right?
Yeah, we just time limit needs to be somewhere, you know. And like apparently nobody's here to tell us time limit.
They all left.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. They're like, these guys are going to keep on talking forever.
I think, you know, this whole idea that the Western news outlets, they're trying to portray in kind of set a narrative, as usual, that, oh, Israel, you know, yes, Iran dropped some, you know,
a few missiles.
Missiles and bombs or whatever. And they were, number one, they're claiming that they were all intercepted.
Yeah, yeah.
And when the footages started to come out,
yes, like
on ground footages, that, okay, if they were intercepted.
Looked like all of them were being hit, you know.
Okay, so then they're like, no, 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 most of them were intercepted. You know, this is how these media.
Yeah, yeah, of course, yeah.
They're trained to do this. So, okay, most of them were intercepted. Some of them were dropped. And then they're like, yeah, 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 there was no human loss. There was no infrastructure loss, you know. So basically they're trying to control the narrative. And it's kind of like that face saving they're trying to do to show that the Zionist regime has not really incurred any losses. And the United States of America, it is basically... saying that since you haven't really incurred any loss,
yeah, you don't need to retaliate.
So don't retaliate.
Yeah, just take it easy. It's not a big deal.
They're making this. They're trying to build this narrative, right?
Sure. Yeah.
What's interesting is that if you look at the Islamic Republic of Iran's dropping these drones and missiles, they were targeted very precisely, and they took out the military complex or the military bases and the military. Whatever garrison.
Yeah, they were proper bases, like big bases.
But they did not attack the schools in the occupied lands, in the occupied territory. They did not attack hospitals. They did not attack universities. They did not attack ordinary, quote-unquote, civilians' houses. While we have talked about it, they're not civilians, they're occupiers. Occupiers are criminals.
Yeah.
And criminals are not civilians, you know. Yeah. They're not ordinary, innocent civilians, as the Zionist regime and the Western media tries to paint it. So the Islamic Republic did not attack that. What do you make out of that? Like, why do you think that the Islamic Republic was precise in just dropping those uraniums in or whatever the bombs were in specific areas? Like, what are your thoughts
you
on
that? Yeah, you asking me? A question?
I mean,
man, I feel really refreshed that you are asking me a question. It's like, man, alhamdulillah. It's
for
like
a change.
For a change. You know, you know, to be honest with you, like, when I had heard that they only attacked military targets, and they precisely attacked military targets, meaning, you know, because a lot of this weaponry is precision-guided weaponry. It's not something like back in the day, you know, you know, you shoot this way and you kill somebody on that way. No, these are very pinpoint.
Right.
Some of the missiles that the Islamic Republic launched, they are like within 10 meters or so is what the you know, I don't know, the plus minus factor is, meaning it doesn't go outside of that 10-meter place that it wants to hit.
Right.
And the first thing that really I thought was, like, how incredibly classy, sophisticated, you know, very honorable
elegant.
And noble, elegant. That's a really good
under
word.
Under control.
Under control, elegant. Yeah. It's like, you know, we're not a bunch of ruffians or, you know, gangsters like you guys are, you know, where, you know, you're practically the most of the people that you're killing are civilians.
Right. In Palestine.
Right? In Palestine.
Yeah.
And so here, when you attack the
consulate. It was
kind
of rubbing it on their face, you know.
Well, that, I mean, yeah, right? It's like, you know, it's like.
The reason I asked you
was
like, this is how I was thinking about it, that why is it that they did this?
When
when you're dropping these bombs, you know, might as well just drop it here and there as well. But
well,
they
technically,
were
so if I add here, like in the, I think it's the one of the Geneva Conventions or the United Nations Charter or something like that, when it comes to international law, apparently there's this idea of proportionality, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that the punishment needs to be proportional to the crime.
And we are saying that it was proportional.
Well,
right?
And that's exactly what I'm trying to say, is that in and how is proportional. But when you look at Israel, again, the Zionist regime continuously breaking all kinds of international law, you know, without any, and this is, should be a wake-up call for the people of the world that, listen, if they are not willing to follow international law, then whoever they decide to target is at risk.
Right.
Whether you're a Muslim or a Jew or a Christian or an atheist or an Indian or a Pakistani or an American, does not matter, right? They have proved that we're not going to follow international law, no matter who you are, you know? But so they've been killing civilians left and right. totally out of proportion, mm-hmm. right? So, for example, let's say, for example, that 1,000 Israelis had died on October 7th. You have already killed 35,000 individuals. None of your infrastructure was destroyed. Mm-hmm. All of the infrastructure, practically, of Israel, of Palestine, Gaza Strip, has been destroyed.
Yeah, with carpet bombing
thousands
and everything.
Thousands of people have disappeared from the West Bank. Right. So it's totally not proportional. Mm-hmm. Now, when the Zionist regime attacked the consulate, right, they killed civilians in a diplomatic mission. So proportionality dictated that the Islamic Republic also kill civilians, also attack an embassy.
Right.
And this is what had, you know, what America and Israel were really scared was that most probably the Islamic Republic is going to attack an embassy of Israel in
somewhere.
Some part of the world.
Yeah.
You know?
Honestly, like, in the back of my mind, that's the response I was thinking about, too.
And as far as international law is concerned,
they would
had
have been
the
covered.
Right.
They would have been covered.
They would have been covered. You know, we did proportionately what they did to us.
Yeah.
But despite that, man, it was so beautiful, and really the manifestation of the pure Muhammadan teachings, you know, manifested here. Like, this is something that, you know, I mean, this is a manifestation of the pure Muhammadan teachings, very honorably. And one place I read that they actually forewarned the regional countries 78 hours in advance.
And this is where I wanted to take it, five hours before your missiles are going to make it to the enemy and to your target. You make an announcement at least 5 hours before, least.
Which is a long time, man.
So I was thinking, like, if you're attacking them, they don't make any announcement, you know.
No, they don't,
they just
man.
Just drop bombs, right? So again, like, what do you make out of it? Like, making that announcement, giving them kind of the opportunity, or I don't know, intimation that, hey, here we come, you know, we're not just going to blindly
sneak attack you, surprise attack you.
Yeah, this is not
stab
who we
you
are.
In the back.
We're, you know,
we're men of the battlefield.
The more I thought about it, you know, when the imams, they would go and do jihad, you know, imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhim wasalam, they would go to the battlefield and they would recite this rajas, you know.
Yeah.
They would make an announcement of their presence that here I am in the battlefield. I am so and so and so, you know. I am the son of this. I'm the grandson of this. You know, my mother has named me Haider, for instance.
Yeah.
Imam Ali alayhi salam goes and introduces himself before he fights the enemy, you know. And it seems like, you know, having that transparency, I would say, having that,
that manliness, courage,
you know,
honor, nobility.
This is something that the Islamic Republic of Iran
around,
has displayed.
You know, don't go around killing nuclear scientists and their families.
Yeah,
or,
exactly.
You know, a guy, Shahid Haj Qasim Soleimani, right? Yeah. A guy who was on a diplomatic mission. These people who they killed in Syria, in the consulate, on a diplomatic mission, the Syrian government had invited them.
Yeah.
You know, it was nothing sneaky was going on. These were...
But
and
just
then,
imagine if American, I don't know, like...
Oh, Jesus, man, they would have started World War III.
Exactly. You know where I'm taking it, right?
Yeah.
If the American dignitaries or their heads of...
You said in one of your speeches, if an American dog got shot, I mean, they would have been a serious thing.
Yeah. This was actually back in the day, Imam Khomeini, when he launched his movement, that was exact scenario. That they said that any American... If they do anything in Iran, pre-Islamic Revolution Iran, at the time of Imam Khomeini, then they cannot be tried in the courts.
Yeah, they
off
extraterritoriality laws.
The Iranian courts, right? So they would be shipped back to the U.S.
Yeah, sure.
And they would, you know, do whatever or not do anything, you know.
Technically, that's what they want to do, is to not do anything.
Right, of course.
Because they know they'll do something in the host country.
Exactly.
And
Imam
so
Khomeini said, this is a disgrace for a nation, for a country.
Yes, humiliation.
You know, this is. But honestly, like, even after... I think 45 years of Islamic revolution. Mm. How many nations have learned this from this great nation of Islamic Republic or Iranian nation?
Yeah.
That this is a disgrace.
Yeah.
You know, somebody from another country comes to your country, commits any sort of crime, and gets a free pass and cannot be tried by the justice system of that country.
Yeah.
You know, this is...
So you were talking about, like, if an American dog had been shot in the Middle East, then these guys would have really started a world war.
I don't, yeah, it's probably in one of my speeches. Yeah,
they would have started a world war. Yeah. And look at the, again, something that the world, you know, as you said, is realizing to these fake slogans of human rights and, you know, human rights for everybody. They're just hollow slogans.
I think, Sayed, my heart is just happy that, you know, a response has been given to those who have been overstepping their limits.
My heart is really happy.
You know,
too,
it's
man.
Just Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. You know, the entire Eid al-Fitr, I remember. You know,
it was sad.
Even
depressing.
The posts that were coming from friends and family and others, even the ones we were sending, you know, so everybody was like, you know, remember the oppressed Palestinians in your du'as. Remember the oppressed nation of Palestine in your du'as. We were writing the same things, right?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
And we were praying, you know, may Allah hasten the reappearance of Imam alayhi salam so he can relieve the Palestinian nation from the clutches of these Zionists and imperialists and this filthy network of greedy, you know.
Like bloodthirsty.
Bloodthirsty.
Merciless, yeah.
People, you know, and you know, just... A few days after that, you know, you get this good news that somebody, alhamdulillah, to the Islamic system, you know, and I wrote it to someone, we were having a conversation, I said that, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, that this is the only country that has been able to respond to the arrogance of the arrogant powers, right? And this is exactly what can potentially become the foundation and it can become the, you can say, the platform based on which we can hope and pray that Imam Zaman alayhi salam comes back. Because now we're strong enough that we can protect the Imam of the time.
Yeah.
Unlike how we had been in history.
Yeah, it's very beautiful. Sheikh, I'm going to have to stop it there, you know, even though the podcast, somebody over here gave me a time warning. They said, you've been well
I was going to ask for
well
water
over,
because I was getting thirsty too.
So, but, you know, I mean, I really like this whole podcast thing. I think it was very cool. It was very down-to-earth, casual, relaxed talk, you know.
Yeah.
So, inshallah, you know, I hope that we have more
There's
of these.
There's so many other talking points.
That means like millions of talking points, you know. So, alhamdulillah. I don't know, I guess that's a wrap, man. You know,
inshallah,
keep us in your du'as and fi amanullah.
Let's call it a night.
Okay. Wherever you are.